Hey, everybody. Welcome to Mount Olive Church Online. So glad you joined us today as we continue our series, Psalms of Ascent, A Journey to God. You know, have you ever laughed so hard that suddenly you're like, oop, that didn't hold right? Or, you know, maybe you're a parent or a grandparent and you decided to jump on the trampoline with your kids or your grandkids. And suddenly you're like, what was holding before isn't holding anymore, right? There's just something about having babies. There's something about, you know, growing older that sometimes what was holding before just doesn't hold anymore. You know, this is to an extent kind of descriptive of where our world and maybe where your world has been over the last few months. Not that the world has peed its pants, okay? Come on, people. But, you know, in the sense that in some ways, for many of us, the bottom just kind of fell out, right? I mean, you had your job or you had your career or you had your hopes for a career. You were in college or university and there was some sense of security. And suddenly, over the last few months, it's like the bottom just fell out. And what you thought and what you hoped was secure actually turned out to be quite insecure. In many ways, what we've experienced as a world over the last few weeks is that the bottom just has kind of fallen out. And when the bottom falls out, what it leaves us with is a lot of insecurity. We are quite insecure, and we've been reminded over the last few weeks and over the last few months just how insecure our world is. And maybe, you know, you had plans for a vacation, you had plans for the future, and all of a sudden those plans didn't hold, and it left you feeling a little insecure, right? You had plans maybe for a relationship, or maybe you had some health plans, and maybe some things have happened in your life, and your health just kind of disintegrated, or you got a doctor's note, and suddenly what you thought was secure, your future and your plans and even your health all of a sudden proved to be quite insecure. And I can tell you this, we'll take security all day over insecurity, right? None of us like insecurity. We want to be secure, and even in the areas of our lives that are insecure, we try to make them more secure in different ways. That's why we get insurance. There's a little bit of insecurity, and so I'll get some insurance so that I can have a little more security. We love security. It's why we make plans for the future. There should be some level of predictability, and we get really upset when what we had planned falls through, when the bottom just kind of falls out. We love security. But you know, there's a really tight, close connection between trust and security. Trust and security actually go hand in hand because we typically, and this is wise, we typically put our trust in what we deem to be secure. We put our trust, and this is wise, in what we think will hold. And when the bottom falls out, it leaves us feeling insecure because we put our trust in what we think is secure. And I think this season right now that we're in, that we've gone through as an entire society, in fact, as an entire world, is actually a little bit of a wake-up call for us. And it's a great moment for us to take some time to say, what are the things that I had placed my trust in that the bottom fell out? And it's proven to be a lot less secure than I thought it was. And maybe I need to reconsider where I put my trust. You know, when we lose what we thought was secure, it drives us, or it should drive us, to reconsider what is worth trusting in. Because we always put our trust in what we think is secure. When what we think is secure, when the bottom falls out on that, it should drive us to reconsider where we put our trust, where we've put our trust. And Psalm 125 is really just about that. You know, the ancients of years ago, they had a real understanding of how insecure our world is. And they would, in fact, they would build their cities and their places of living, not just for a view, but they would build their cities in places where there was protection, where there was security. They would build walls around their city and city gates because they understood that without warning, a neighboring, you know, enemy could come and pillage your city, pillage your town, and take your home. And so there was this understanding that the world is an insecure place. And I think we in our society today, especially in wealthy North America, are learning a little bit just how insecure our world is. And this is a great time for us to reconsider where we've put our trust. And that's what Psalm 125 is all about. It was a reminder for pilgrims, Jewish pilgrims years ago that would make their way up to Jerusalem. It was a reminder, where do you put your trust and will it hold or will the bottom fall out? And here's how the psalmist says it. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which is Jerusalem, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever. Those who trust in the Lord, not those who trust in their own ability, not those who trust in their plans, not those who trust in their own strength to gain success, not those who trust in the economy or politician. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion. Those who trust in the Lord cannot be shaken. They have put their trust in something sure, in something steadfast, in something strong, where the bottom will not fall out. Well, if those who trust in the Lord are not shaken, then it must also mean that those who do not trust in the Lord will be shaken. And in fact, that's kind of what we've experienced over the last few months, isn't it? You know, we love to find security in money. It's something many of us find security in, and we have our businesses and our careers, and we have our income, and we love to find security in our retirement savings, and we've put money away, and we've put money into a rainy day fund, and those are actually wise things to do, but often we find our security in finances, in money, in the money that we can make. And I think over the last few weeks, suddenly the bottom fell out on some of those things, right? On your career, possibly your retirement savings, you saw them nosedive. And it's like, this is a time to reconsider, because you've been feeling a little shaken. And where have you placed your trust? You know, we often put our trust in the political systems, right? I mean, yet as we look at history, we see that kingdoms rise and kingdoms fall, and empires rise and empires fall. And we know that the world politically is shifting sand. And if you put your trust in what's going to happen politically, you will find yourself being shaken. You know, we've even noticed over the last few months just how fragile our world is socially and our social system, and how easily the bottom can just kind of fall out, and it can leave us very, very shaken if that's where we've put our trust, on that holding. Even medically, you know, we put our trust in our own health, in our ability to stay healthy, and we make plans and we put our trust in our health to be able to go into the future and live a certain amount of years, and yet without warning, we can have a doctor's note and the bottom can fall out, and we can be left shaken if that's where we've put our trust. If the world has taught us anything, it's this, that the guarantee of this world is that there are no guarantees in this world. The guarantee of this world is that there are no guarantees in this world. And when we put our trust in the things of this world, we will be left shaken, because at some point the bottom will fall out. And so this is why the psalmist writes to us, those who trust in the Lord, not those who trust in the things of this world, but those who've placed their trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken. It stands firm because it's a firm foundation to build your life on. It cannot be shaken, but it endures forever. You know, it's interesting. The word the psalmist chose to use for the word trust is actually a little different than often we define trust. We often think of trust as a feeling. I feel trust towards someone, or as a thought. It's something I think. In that sense, we think of trust as a noun, but the word the psalmist used, the original word in Hebrew, is actually a verb. Trust is not something we just think or feel. It's actually something we do. It's a way of living, and we're going to look at that a little more. But as the psalmist starts to unpack this first statement, and the rest of the psalm unpacks, what's the outcome for those who trust in the Lord? And what does that look like to live that out? As he unpacks that, we'll see exactly what trust in the Lord looks like and what it accomplishes. This is what he says next. He says, as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people both now and forevermore. You know, I've told you earlier in this series that Jerusalem was geographically at the highest point in the area. It's kind of just uphill to Jerusalem from wherever you come from, right? It's uphill all the way. People go up to Jerusalem, and that is true. I mean, the Sea of Galilee, which is 30 kilometers east, actually, of Jerusalem, is some 430 meters below sea level, and Jerusalem is some almost 800 meters above sea level. So within 30 kilometers, you rise over a kilometer in elevation. So it's just uphill all the way to Jerusalem. But what is also true is that around Jerusalem, there are some what the psalmist calls mountains that surround Jerusalem. So it's at the highest point, but there are some higher points around the city itself. Now, he says the word mountains, and we often in Alberta, we kind of just automatically think Rocky Mountains. It's nothing like the Rocky Mountains. In fact, when the psalmist says the mountains surround Jerusalem, we should think more like the hills. It's kind of like the three hills. There's just kind of some hills around Jerusalem. And these hills act as a natural protection for the city. It's why the city of Jerusalem has been so hard to conquer throughout history. In fact, when we were in Jerusalem a couple of years ago, our tour guide said that almost every attack that has come on Jerusalem throughout its history has come from the north, because it's in the north where there's the least amount of hills. See, there's all these hills by Jerusalem and then a valley and then up to Jerusalem in the center. And it's hard to attack a city coming through a valley. But on the north side, it's the flattest, and that's the place where there's the least amount of protection. It's the most vulnerable to be attacked. But you can just picture, even as the pilgrims of old would travel up to Jerusalem, they would travel reciting this psalm, and they could see the mountains or the hills surrounding Jerusalem as a protection around Jerusalem, to give it security. And the psalmist says, just as these hills are a natural security for the city itself, so God surrounds his people, those who have put their trust in him. God surrounds them, and he is their security. He is their protection. You know, I love this picture that the psalmist paints, because, you know, what does Jerusalem, the city itself, do to make itself secure? Not really anything, does it? It's simply where it dwells. It has been placed in the center of all these hills. And the same is true of us. We don't have to go running for security. We are simply surrounded by God himself. And the call for us, and what we'll see the psalmist says, the call for us is to stay in the center of God. That's where security is. That's where we put our trust. And as the mountains surround Jerusalem, God surrounds us. And so we are called to live in the center of God, to not deviate, to not go in opposite or different directions, but to live in the center of his will, in the center of his ways, and in the center of who he is. But you know, there is a temptation for all of us. There's a temptation for all of us to leave the center. There's a temptation for all of us as we live in the center of who God is, in his ways and in his wills. There's a temptation for us to leave the center. And the psalmist understood that. And so this is what he writes next, exactly that temptation. There's a temptation to leave. He writes, the scepter, which means the rule of the wicked, the scepter of the wicked will not remain over the land allotted to the righteous. For then the righteous might use their hands to do evil. The psalmist understood the temptation that there is for the righteous. And this is both a prayer, a statement rather, and a request of God. It's a statement saying that the wicked will not rule. It won't happen. And it's a request of God. God, don't let it happen. Don't allow the wicked to rule too long. Because when they do, there's temptation for the righteous to use their hands for evil. A picture of what this looks like would be to go back to elementary school. If you think back to elementary school and you think back, and maybe this you experienced this yourself, but the picture is you're writing your test, and you look over at the person beside you, and you see them looking at the person in front of them cheating. And you think, that's not right. They shouldn't be doing that. And you refuse. You just write your test and you're done. And what ends up happening is they never get found out. You find out they never got found out, and they did really well on their test. In fact, they did better than you did on the exam. And suddenly the next time you're writing an exam and you're feeling a little underprepared, and you look over at the person beside you, and again, they're looking at the person in front of them cheating, and they never got found out, and it kind of worked out for them. Suddenly there's this temptation, well, maybe I should just do the same thing. That's what the psalmist is talking about. That when the wicked rule for too long, there's a temptation for the righteous to deviate from the righteous paths and to use their hands for evil. In what ways are you tempted? Maybe you're a businessman and you look around at the other businessmen, business people in your field of business, and you see them taking shortcuts and you see them doing things that are just a little shady, and they never seem to be found out, and they're prospering. In fact, they're doing better than you're doing, and there's this temptation to leave the center of God and deviate to other paths. You know, maybe you've experienced slander and gossip, and there's this temptation to fight fire with fire, to leave the center of God's ways and to use your hands for evil. In what ways? Maybe you're a very relational person, and there's just this temptation to gain friends at any means possible. And there's this temptation to deviate the ways of God. You know, I'll just exaggerate the truth, or I won't tell the truth, or I'll just lie because I just want people to like me. And we deviate, and we're tempted to deviate from the ways and the paths of God, to leave the center of living in God's ways. You know, there's actually an example of this through the nation of Israel in history. After the Babylonians and Nebuchadnezzar exiled the people in Jerusalem and in Judah, exiled them to Babylon, eventually the Persians, the Medes and Persians would come and destroy the Babylonians. And at that time, the king of the Persians allowed some of the Jews to go back to Jerusalem and to build up their homes. And then eventually he allowed a man, you may have heard this name because he wrote a book of the Bible, he allowed Nehemiah to go back to Jerusalem and help organize the building of the walls of Jerusalem. And you know, when Nehemiah got back to Jerusalem, what he ended up finding was that there were Jewish people that were charging interest for loans from other Jewish people. And they were becoming wealthy off the poverty of their own people. And Leviticus tells us the law had forbade this kind of action. And they decided to leave the center of God's ways and to deviate. And they decided to do what the pagan nations, the Gentile nations around them were doing. And they saw the prosperity of people charging interest, and they decided, I can make some money. And so they began doing something that the law forbade them to do, because as the psalmist says, when the wicked rule for too long, when they rule for too long, it's a temptation for the righteous to use their hands for evil, to use their hands for evil, to leave the center of God's way, to leave the center of living in God's ways. Well, the psalmist goes on and he says, Lord, do good to those who are good and to those who are upright in heart. Again, a statement and a prayer, right? God will do good, but God, please do good to those who are good. And I'm sure if you are a follower of Jesus, wanting to live in the center of God's ways, you've prayed this prayer for yourself and you've prayed this prayer for loved ones. God, I'm trying to do things right in my family. God, I'm trying to do things right in my business. God, I would you do good to those who are good? God, my son is trying to follow your ways and I can see it's hard for him. God, would you do good to him, to my parents or my spouse or my loved ones? Do good to those who are good, and then to those who are upright in heart. The word upright literally means straight. Those who are straight in heart. Those who do not go and deviate to other paths. Those who are upright. Those who do things in a straight way. It reminds us a little bit of Jesus' words when he said, the idea of taking the narrow path, the straight path, rather than other paths. And then the psalmist says, do good to those who are upright in heart, those who do not take crooked paths. And he says, but those who turn to crooked ways, the Lord will banish with the evildoers. Peace be on Israel. Those who turn to crooked ways, those who leave the center. In essence, what the psalmist says, eventually they will be banished with the evildoers. In essence, the bottom will fall out. You may seek security in another way. You may seek to try this to gain a better security for your finances, to secure some pleasure over here. You may seek your own strength to trust him, but eventually the bottom will fall out. It is not trustworthy. You know, Psalm 125 was a reminder of where we find our security. What we put our trust in. Because what we think is secure and where we place our trust go hand in hand. And the psalmist said that those who trust in the Lord, they will not be shaken. They will endure. They will not be shaken. And so this is a psalm that encourages us to put our trust in the Lord in what will stand. But even more than that, the psalmist also defines for us what that trust looks like. And what we find is that trusting in the Lord is more than a thought or a feeling. It is a way of living. It is a way of living. It's what we choose to do in the way that we live. That's why the psalmist said that some people take crooked paths and the bottom will fall out. It is not secure. They will be banished from the Lord and from security, and they will be banished to those who are evildoers. Yet those who are straight in heart, those who are upright, those who do good, those who stay in the center of God's ways, they will be secure because they have placed their trust in God. Trusting in the Lord is more than a thought or feeling. It's not a noun. It's not just something we think. It's something we do in the way that we choose to live. It's a way of living. And if this is true, how we live shows a lot about what we trust in. How you live shows a lot about what you trust in. You know, we can say, till we're blue in the face, I trust in the Lord. My trust is in the Lord. But show me how you live Sunday to Sunday. Show me how you live. That speaks volumes more about where you have placed your trust. And when the path is straight and you choose to take it, even when you see the wicked prospering, I know where your trust lies. And you would know where my trust lies. And when we choose to deviate and to take side roads and crooked paths, that also shows us where we have placed our trust. How we live shows a lot about where we have put our trust. What trust in? What does your life say about where you've put your trust? You know, I said earlier in the message that when we lose what we thought was secure, it drives us, or it should drive us, to reconsider what's worth trusting in, because trust and security go hand in hand. And we put our trust in what we think is secure. And when what we thought was secure, the bottom just kind of falls out, it should drive us to reconsider, is this really where I want to build my life on? Is this what I want to place my trust in? And I think this is a great season for us to do some personal inventory and say, where have I placed my trust? And as we've experienced some falling outs in our world, and how has that affected you? And to reconsider, where have I placed my trust? And I want to encourage you to do that with two questions. I have two questions for you to kind of help you process, where is your trust? Where does your trust lie? And the first question is this: what have you lost recently that hit you harder than you first thought? And what does that say about where your trust lies? What have you lost recently where the bottom just kind of fell out and you thought, oh, that's no big deal. I'm okay. I'm just trusting the Lord. But it just kind of hit you harder than you first thought. And it's like something you can't seem to shake. In fact, it's left you shaken. What does that say about where your trust lies? What does that say about where your trust lies? You had some plans for a vacation. We had plans for a vacation and the bottom just kind of fell out. You had plans for your future and the bottom just kind of fell out and you couldn't shake the feeling. It just kind of hit you harder than you first thought. And maybe your retirement savings, you thought, I don't trust in money. I don't have my trust in money. And yet when you saw the finances just kind of tank, it was something that you couldn't shake and it left you a little more shaken than you'd like to admit. And what does that say about where your trust lies? You know, what does that say about where your trust lies? And I think this is a great time as we've come through COVID-19 and so much of our what we thought was secure has kind of just fallen out. It's a great time for us to reconsider and then make some readjustments in our life. Second question is this: in what area are you most tempted to take a shortcut or to take the crooked path? In what area are you most tempted? Like I said, maybe you're a businessman and there's a temptation in that area of your life. Maybe you see a fellow employee just kind of lie about numbers and exaggerate things and they seem to get all the promotions and get the pay raises. And there's this temptation for you to take the crooked path. Maybe for you, you see someone taking a crooked path, a shortcut to pleasure, and they're running around with someone else's spouse and you're thinking, wow, they seem so happy. And you're just kind of tempted to take the shortcut, to take the crooked path, to walk outside of the center of God's will and God's ways, the center of God himself. In what ways are you tempted? And I think this is a great time for us to make some readjustments in our life and to reconsider where we have placed our trust. You know, that trusting in the Lord is more than a thought or a feeling. It's a way of living. It's what we choose to do. And when we take the path, the straight path, and we stay in the center of God, it shows something about where we've put our trust. And when we take crooked paths or we deviate from the ways of God, that also tells something about where we have put our trust. So would you reconsider and readjust where you need to, your life, to show where you trust and where your trust has been put? You know, this Psalm 125 was both an encouragement and a challenge for pilgrims years ago as they made their way up to Jerusalem. And I think it's an encouragement and a challenge for us as well. It's an encouragement in the sense that as we put our trust in the Lord, we know that we are secure in him, that he surrounds us like the mountains that surround Jerusalem. It's an encouragement, but it's also a challenge for us. And the challenge is, will we live in the center? Will we stay in the center of God's way? And will our life show what we have put our trust in when we say we've put our trust in the Lord? Lord Jesus, we take time to praise you, to exalt your name, to thank you. Words can't express how joyful we are and how thankful we are for what you did on the cross for us, that we have eternal security because of what you have done. And as we place ourselves in you, as we put our faith in you, that you surround us and you hold us. And Father, you know that so often in this life of following you, this long obedience in the same direction, this life, this journey of discipleship, that we can be tempted sometimes to deviate, to take crooked paths. So today, right now, we pray, God, would you give us strength to stay in the center, to live in the center, to stay in the center of your will, the center of your ways, the center of who you are, that we would, as the psalmist declared, that we would put our trust in you. It would be reflected in our life, and we know that you surround us. And so we praise you, and we thank you. We ask that you give us strength, and we ask these things all in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.